Witness at the trial of Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher testifying yesterday that Gallagher stabbed an injured ISIS fighter in 2017, but that other Navy SEAL, Corey Scott, says he suffocated the teenager afterwards, knowing he was going to die anyway. Prosecutors claim Scott only made the confession because he has immunity and doesn't want to see Gallagher going to prison.
President Trump is expected to nominate Army Secretary Mark Esper as Defense Secretary. A formal nomination could be sent to the Senate as early as next week. Esper is set to become acting defense secretary on Sunday, replacing Chief Patrick Shanahan. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
LinkedIn is the largest online professional platform in the world with more than 630 million members using its network to search for new jobs. LinkedIn CEO Jeff Weiner joined CBS this morning and has some tips if you're interested in looking for that new job and using LinkedIn.
It's leveraging your network. It's making sure that you're able to utilize folks who can help open doors for you, people
right.
that have a referral inside an organization that can is a place they want to get a job. Leveraging a referral like that makes you 10 times more likely to get the role. And I have to say, on the opposite end, it's really important that all of us are conscious of that dynamic, because as exciting as that is for people like your daughter, there may be other folks who did not necessarily go to the right school, they haven't had the right jobs, they don't have the right relationships, and we call that the network gap.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a virtuous cycle for people who have the relationships.
Yeah.
There's a vicious cycle for people who have the skills, they have the aptitude, but they don't have the relationships. And one of the things we've encouraged our employees to do is take what we call the plus one pledge to open up their networks to people that they don't know who are in underrepresented groups to help create opportunities.
Apple is issuing a voluntary recall of a number of 15-inch MacBook Pro laptops due to an overheating battery. The company says the computers being recalled were sold between 2015 and 2017. Customers who may have bought an Apple MacBook during that time are asked to go to the Apple website and enter the serial number to see if their computer is part of the recall. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, we're back, and it's the weather, and I'm Pat Smith, and but first of all, we're going to talk about the weather, and
well,
I don't care. It is.
I want to get out down the shore and on the water.
I'm telling you, both tomorrow and Sunday, we actually have forecast that it's going to be sunny. 81 degrees tomorrow, which should be really great weather. Sunday, 85 degrees. Low tonight, about 54 degrees. Tomorrow night, 55 degrees. And even on Sunday night, partly cloudy. Monday starts out good, and then about a 30% chance of showers. And we actually have our third
sports guy
in.
John Manfreda.
Third sports
mic
guy.
On, Pat. That is the question of the day.
Hey, Pat, is my mic on? I don't think it is. Let's find out.
Okay, there we go.
Nope, it is.
I think she was so shocked she wanted to stymie me because she knows. She doesn't know this, but John does, and he can't join me. On August 1 and August 2, I'm going out to Latrobe, Pennsylvania to watch the Steelers practice for 2 days. My brother-in-law and I have figured out that we need to have what we call geezer guy fun. What we're going to do is we're going to go to central Pennsylvania, leave my wife with his wife. They happen to be sisters. So
is that a coincidence, Bill?
Yeah, what a coincidence. This is going to be on WWF for the entire weekend.
My wife, right, and
her two sisters. It should be interesting. But we're going to escape. We're going to get in the car and get on the turnpike that Billy Joel likes to sing about. And we're going to go trucking to Latrobe, Pennsylvania, home of Arnold Palmer, Mr. Rogers, and the glass-lined vats of Old Latrobe where they brew Rolling Rock beer. And we're going to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers practice at the College of St. Vincent. How about that?
I have something. I'm always trying to get you guys on trivia, but this isn't trivia. I have a small bet. I'm going to bet you that the Trenton Thunder are going to be in the playoffs this year.
Wouldn't surprise me, given all the good rookies and minor leaguers the Yankees have.
I'm saying 100%, I will bet 100%. Anybody want to take me up on that?
And what was the essence of the bet, that they're going to make the playoffs?
That the Trenton Thunder is going to be in the playoffs this year. 100%.
Well, just because they're a Yankee affiliate, I'm going to hope that's not true. But I do hear they have some talent down there on the farm. So
you
may be right about that, Pat. I probably wouldn't give you those odds.
100%. Anybody want to take me up on that?
I'm not taking your bet until I study the roster.
Okay, well, let me tell you why. Oh, I finally got these guys.
How is that sporting if you're going to study the roster?
I finally got these guys. Guess what? It turns out that if the Trenton Thunder was first on June 28th, and whichever team is first automatically gets into the playoffs.
Oh, it's like they won the first half. That is very clever. You know, minor league baseball has such clever ways of doing business. That's great. So even if you wind up calling up a bunch of guys up to the big club and your roster is depleted and you don't have a good second half and you would have finished out of the playoffs, you're still in. So your fans, and not only that, after June 28, the team can promote themselves as a playoff team.
Absolutely.
What a brilliant idea.
Yeah, and so anyway, I thought that maybe that neither of you knew that, but that is
did
true.
Not know that.
Apparently,
that is very clever.
This clubs can decide whether or not they're going to do this, and apparently, this may have been the first year that the Trenton Thunder decided to do it, and they just squeaked it by. By the way, I don't remember who they squeaked past, but in any event, I think that should allow them.
The important thing is they squeaked,
and it'll allow them to, as you said, promote it.
Yep.
And
buy your playoff tickets now. Yeah. We're in.
Yep. So anyway, that was
as opposed to some other teams who are the reigning world champions who you can't be sure they're going to be in. But it's 90 games to go.
Hey,
don't count
what?
Us out yet.
It's a long season, folks, and that's why they play the game.
But the Rays are for real.
The Rays are for real.
And that has skewered the AL East for the first time in many years. You've got, you know, the two perennial heavyweights, Boston, New York. Now you got Tampa in the mix. You got three of the four best teams, although arguably Minnesota. But I don't know. We just beat them 2 out of 3. We should have swept them, but there was a bad call in the 17th inning the night of the Red Sox would have swept them. But arguably three of the top four teams in the American League, and perhaps in all of baseball, really, are right there in the AL East.
Well, remember, the Yankees have owned the Twins for years and years, although who knows about now?
Yeah. They may be breaking that string, but you never know.
Well, you know, you guys know I'm not really a big baseball fan. However, what is amazing to me is that they're now talking, the Tampa Rays are now talking about playing half of their games in Montreal.
Yeah. I mean, that to me is very gimmicky. I mean, there's minor league ball and then there's minor league ball. And there's playing two home games in Milwaukee every year. I get that with the Packers. But 40 games in Montreal.
Well, but you know,
I don't know.
The interesting thing is that I think it makes sense. They're going to play.
Well, obviously, they'd be in July and August.
No, they'll play the early. No, my understanding is they're going to play the early games if they do it.
Oh, wait a minute. They'll play those in Montreal, don't they?
Well, they said that one of the reasons would be they expect they need two new stadiums, one in Tampa, one in Montreal. But if they play the early games, early part of the season in Tampa, they won't need a dome stadium in Tampa.
What if it rains?
I'm not sure I follow that. If they play the early games in Tampa, they won't need a dome in Tampa, which presupposes they do need a dome in Tampa, and I'm not sure they do.
Well, what are they going to play
in Montreal in April and May?
No, the last part of the season.
They're going to put skates on.
They'll play the last part of the season in Montreal, where the first part of the season is cold. But
well, that cheats the fan base.
But they also said, and I thought this was pretty interesting.
And you know what? Speaking of that, if you were to weight the schedule heavy in Tampa early in the season because of the weather, now let's say you're a first-place team doing real well. Okay, guys, we're going to now go to Montreal for the next 2 months and play. Then the fans who endured the early success are going to not see the team in August and September.
And remember something
else. I just don't see.
Remember something else. In April and May, all the Canadians are in Florida thinking about getting ready to go home to get away from all the humidity in Florida. They can enjoy all the nice air up in Montreal or
I've been in Montreal in late March where it hit 74 degrees.
Yeah.
In fact, the day weekend I was there, it set a record.
But you know,
it was so hot.
But listen, and there's some strategy on the other side, because even though I think last year they had a really good record, they're trying to save baseball in the Tampa area. Because they have the second lowest attendance.
Their attendance has been low despite a very good team.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and they said that Montreal, since the Expos left, you know, they have
a lot of baseball. They really would love baseball. To me, it'd have to be kind of like what they did in Winnipeg and any other city in Canada seeking a franchise, and that is put a sign-up sheet there. If you have 20,000 people sign up for season tickets, fine. The Jets needed 14,000, and they got it.
They got 15.
For the wait list, yeah.
Yeah. Well, remember, the Winnipeg Jets were originally a WHA team.
Correct.
And I went to a WHA game in Winnipeg. And
not many people would admit to that, Bill, but go ahead.
I'm proud of it. I was interning with the Philadelphia Blazers, and they went up there. It was February. People braved a snowstorm and minus 10 degrees on a Wednesday night to see two
Derek Sanderson.
Derek Sanderson and Simone Nolet skate against the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, they had 8,000 people show up in a snowstorm. In a stadium, in an arena that seated, I think, 15,000, if memory serves. And in Winnipeg, in that kind of weather, there's not a whole lot to do. And, unless...
I can think of something.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. In that kind of weather, they play hockey up there.
Yeah. Ah,
but let's switch to something
else. A warmer venue in mind.
Let's switch to something else. Am I right? Are the Red Sox and the Yankees playing in London?
Yes, they are. First ever.
That should be really very
interesting. Two games in London, and that's coming up soon.
This week, isn't it? This coming week?
I think so. I think it's next week. It's right before July 4th. And the exciting thing about that is that you will find baseball fans just about anywhere. I was very surprised to find how many people in the Netherlands played baseball. And in England, they're... Baseball is not the summer sport. They play cricket. They go to soccer matches, which they call football or rugby.
Football.
But, you know, I think it will get people...
Oh, yeah, if you want to get a Brit pissed off at you, you say, how's your soccer team doing?
Oh, yes.
Football team.
Football.
Footy.
And, well, in Latin America, it's football. But, you do. I mean, you know that you're a Yank if you call soccer.
So when are the Red Sox playing the Yankees?
Well, that's what I'm looking. Let's see.
Well, so
yeah, it
isn't
I think
this next
good
week.
For baseball.
It must be coming up because I see on June 30.
Yep, that's next
okay.
week. Believe it or not,
it's a week from Sunday.
Right.
The Yankee Red Sox starts at 10:10 a.m.
That means that they're playing.
So that
in
means
right.
they're playing at 4:10 a.m.
What stadium are they playing
next
in?
Weekend,
Wembley.
Chris. Means they're playing at 4:10 p.m. in London.
Right. Right. So are they playing in Wembley Stadium or Arsenal? Where are they playing?
Let me see. Let me click it on and see what it says. So London Stadium.
So that's Sunday morning?
Sunday morning, 10:10 a.m.
And what day is that?
That is Sunday. A Sunday, and that's a Sunday. And the Saturday game is 1:10 p.m. Saturday afternoon.
So that's a night game
so
there.
That would be a 7:10 start
and what,
in
what,
London.
Yeah. What are they? What station are they playing? What? NBC, CBS, ABC,
Fox.
Fox.
Well, that's no surprise. Fox has a lot of baseball.
Fox also does the NFL London.
Right. Exactly. Meanwhile, I wanted to talk a little bit.
Well, wait a minute. Let's just hear about any predictions about. First of all, expats are going to love it that
yeah,
they can go
yeah. Yeah.
and to a Yankees Red Sox.
Yeah, yeah.
John, you know, I'm surprised that you don't
Bill
have
and
a
I
ticket.
Did not get tickets. Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
not actually, the two of you did not get
yep.
tickets.
Yeah, I didn't
and
even
especially
realize it.
John, because yeah. you have a daughter who might be able to help
oh,
you
yeah.
out.
Oh yeah, yeah. In fact, had I thought of it and mentioned it to Allison, she would be there because Fidelity has a big office in London. She'd have no problem getting us over there, or probably even getting tickets.
Well, it's not too late.
Yeah, there you go.
And we'll even give you an excuse for not being here next Friday if you're
jetting
over
to
London.
Well, okay. I won't be here next Friday because aren't we coming up on July 4th weekend soon?
The following week.
Pardon
week.
Me. Excuse me. I'm moving a little
yep,
bit too
yep,
fast.
Yep, yep, yep.
What I'm very interested in is whether the game sells out.
I'm sure. Oh, absolutely. I believe it'll sell out. You
yeah.
don't?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how many. I don't know the stadium and the size of the stadium, but I would be very surprised. I mean, that's the kind of game that, you know, people who are living and working in France will hop over the pond to go to see.
Yeah.
You know, Ireland. You know, there are a lot of Americans in Europe, and I think to, you know, first of all, I mean, Red Sox and Yankees. I mean, this is, you know, that's pretty incredible that they got those two teams.
They have a lot of games coming up. There's a four-game series in Fenway the end of July, and then a couple with Tampa, and then they play four games, including a doubleheader, the first weekend in, or when you're going to be on your trip there, because I'll be at the Shore that weekend, August 2nd. On Saturday, August 3rd, there's a doubleheader, Yankees-Red Sox. Remember they had a couple of rainouts?
Yeah. So they put together a couple doubleheaders.
So they're going to be playing in New York or Boston?
Well, the doubleheader will be in New York.
Oh, so that would be in Boston, that makeup. Surprising.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That will be in New York, yeah.
They had some early rainouts.
Because they had an early rainout.
Okay, right. Well, you two are talking. I'm going to play a few spots from our
I think that'd be
sponsors.
A good idea, Pat.
Yeah,
hit that money
idea,
button.
Pat.
We need the money.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Okay, guys, we're back. The sports guys are back. It's the 21st of June.
It's summer, folks.
Has begun.
Summer began a couple hours ago.
It's time to go boating, folks. That's well, like a sports guy, of course, boat trip.
That's true. And, of course, everybody's thinking baseball. There was some very interesting recent basketball. And, of course, you know me, I'm trying to think of who's getting contract extensions, which football players around the league should be looking for contract extensions. Well, so, One of these days we'll have to talk about it.
We haven't heard about the Packers yet today, Pat.
Well, you know, I'm holding back on Packers, other than, you know, and they don't usually give contract extensions or give people big dollars. So they're not, at least it's not predicted that other than maybe Demarius Randall, who's a safety man, he's a third year, during his third year, he played a cornerback. Now, I did learn something interesting on these five-year options, and I never realized that when they have that fifth-year option, the price depends on the position they played in their third season. You guys both know that?
I can't say I knew that detail. No.
Okay, well, apparently the NFL bases the fifth-year option price on the position played in the third season. So
you
talk about somebody like Jones, who Brian Jones, who's played in Dallas. He's in his fifth-year option, and he's really getting, I don't know the word I can use on the radio, but since he was a safety for the Cowboys in 2017, he stuck on the safety numbers.
Wow.
Even though he's now playing cornerback. And so
that doesn't seem fair.
That's really tough for him. Now, Demarius Randall, who plays with the Packers, in his third year, he was a cornerback with the Packers. So in his fifth year, his option was over $9 million.
And so I guess the smart strategy, Bill, is to play quarterback in your third year.
I guess so.
Yep. I mean, no, seriously. Brian Jones, who I think everybody thinks is, you know, great or certainly very good, I mean, his fifth-year option was $6.2 million. And Demarius Randall, who's playing with the Packers, he's playing at over $9 million. And I never realized that fifth-year option depended on the position you're the position you played in your third season. So, anybody know why that came about?
The owners are greedy.
Well, but why did the players' union agree?
I guess because they must have given up something else. It's hard to know how negotiations, you know, you negotiate every day. You're a horse trader, and you know that you put a package deal together, and sometimes you look at one piece of it. It doesn't make sense until you look at the other piece of it. So I'm sure the CBA more than compensated the players for that.
Well, I suppose, actually, it doesn't happen that often that right. someone plays one position that is notoriously paid less
yeah.
and then goes to another position right. that's notoriously paid more.
I would venture to say it's pretty rare.
But this
By
year...
By your third year, you've settled on a position.
Well, except this year you have two NFL players, one who's taking it on the chin because he's playing at a position that would pay more, and the other who's actually, I guess some people would say, is getting a windfall. I just thought it was interesting, those little quirks that usually, you know, usually I don't even hear about.
Right.
Except that I wondered why, you know, Brian Jones was paid so much less than, you know, somebody like Randall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I, you know, again, like so many other things, there's some, you know, idiosyncrasies that go on there. But, I mean, suffice it to say that these people are well paid for the role that they take, which is to play a game that very few people in the world can play. I mean, think about it. On a Sunday, even if you watch your worst quarterback on TV, okay, he's one of 32 in the world that can do that.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. But, you know, there's some of these things that you wonder why some of these players don't really resent things. I mean, I don't know a lot about it.
Because they're too busy counting their money
well,
to have time to resent anything.
But, you know, somebody like Michael Thomas, a wide receiver for New Orleans, he caught more passes in his first three NFL seasons than any of these other guys. And he's in his final year making $1.148 million. That sounds like a lot, but not when you compare it to somebody.
You don't know what the conditions were when he signed that deal. Neither he nor the team, most likely, knew he would be the leading receiver. He just right. happened to blossom in that role, play well. Secondly, a lot of those might be little tosses from the quarterback that you or I could catch. I mean, you don't know. It's hard to look at stats and draw any real substantive conclusions.
Well, I do predict that he'll get a contract extension.
Well,
I mean,
one of the things.
I would think they want to take care of him a little bit.
Yeah, that there
remember.
Are a number of these guys that I think are really going to be pushing. And look what happened to Wentz. Mm-hmm. And
that's a situation where he's got to play a season or two and prove he can be healthy. You know,
yeah.
it's a health issue with Wentz.
Right.
Yeah, because remember, Wentz is an incredibly talented man.
Yeah. But they're starting to call him Go
speed.
Wentz Gone.
Yeah, but remember, they've now beefed up their offensive line. They've given him guys to throw to, and the Eagles have also realized that they do need to have a running game like they had in their Super Bowl.
The Eagles have an excellent roster, pound for pound, position for position, probably one of the top three or four rosters in the NFL. The questions are at quarterback and running back.
Exactly.
And corner got better. But, you know, their defensive backs are not a lot of all pros.
Well, one of the things that we're still waiting to see is Nelson Aguilar blossom into the kind of
I'm
receiver everybody thought.
I'm shocked they did not
thought.
Trade him draft day
I thought
for
he,
a second
I thought they
or
were
third round
him.
Pick.
Yeah, I figured Nelson Aguilar was going to go to a team like the Browns or maybe St. Louis or a team that is rebuilding like Arizona. I was convinced that they were going to cut him, and I've always liked
they
Nelson
Aguilar.
They
almost did cut him, but for being a first-round pick,
exactly.
they probably wouldn't have.
And remember, Aguilar had something to prove. I think he got ruined by Chip Kelly.
Exactly.
So he had something to prove, and what he did was he went to receivers camp all summer for two summers in a row, and he learned his position working day in, day out in Florida and Arizona in hot weather. And he managed to figure out what the strengths were for his game, and they managed to fit into the Eagle offense, which was usually, if you had a choice, the quarterback, whether it was Foles or whether it was Wentz, they were going to go to Zach Ertz, a possession, or Brett Celek, both possession-type receivers who could hang on to the ball. Aguilar's strength, the reason he was drafted, is he can jump 3.5 feet, and he's a big, tall guy with long arms, and he can come down with the ball. But
he had his first year, he had trouble uncovering.
Exactly.
And couldn't get loose.
Yeah, and to me...
And I think he improved his speed, his cutting ability, and his route running, and he made himself from a mediocre to a good wide receiver.
I think so.
On that team.
I think so, and I think your analysis is very perceptive because he somehow learned...
Folks, quickness. That means it was good.
He somehow learned quickness.
Yeah. You can't teach quickness, right?
No, you really usually can't. But, you know, another thing is... But look at Wentz. He's making, what, $32 million.
And I think he's still on his rookie deal.
But you get Dak Prescott, who's in his final year of his rookie deal. He's making $2 million. I think he's going to get a contract extension this year.
But Dak was a fourth-round pick
that
nobody expected to play. And then when Tony Romo went down right in training camp, they had no choice but to put him in there. And he played well, and he had somebody to hand the ball off to.
Exactly. That first year, he really did.
So I'm hoping a similar thing will happen with the Giants, where they've drafted this young kid. And yeah, they may have reached a little bit, but whether they drafted him 6th or 17th when the other guy went, you know, what difference does it make? If he's the guy they think is going to be their quarterback, I don't care where you took them. They were there at 6. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios that, they could have taken the top defensive player in the draft, the top edge rusher, and still gotten him, and traded up and still gotten him. You don't know that. And had they had the courage of the convictions, and they took him. They also had the 17th pick from the wide receiver trade, and, you know, they drafted a defensive player there. So what you're hoping is that this guy works into the lineup, and he's got an all-pro to hand the ball off to.
Do you think that he'll work in this year? Or
oh, definitely. I think the Giants, at best, are a 500 team. I think towards the latter part, if they're 4-8, I think you will see this kid in there.
You know what I was hoping? I was hoping that you would see him a lot in preseason. See what?
Oh, you will, because would you put a 38-year-old Eli in? No question.
He'll be in
preseason.
He'll be in.
God, and then you know when it gets, you know, if the Giants get behind in the fourth quarter when it's garbage time, put him in. Let him have as many snaps as he can take.
Exactly.
So what will happen to Eli Manning? That was going to be my question to
you, John. Eli will collect his handsome $23 million this year. He will play as well as he can if they have a good – look, if the Giants somehow are 5-3, somehow get – you know, then you look at it and say you have a shot. But if they're 2-6,
so
yeah,
what do
you
think,
make a big difference.
What do you think based on their schedule? Because, you know, I'm looking at
the schedule,
the Packers
is pretty front-loaded.
First
I think it's more likely they're going to be 2-6 than 5-3. In which case, I would expect to see Jones in there, at least in the second half, or as Bill says, fourth quarter garbage time. I think you may have to endure one more bad year with them. But, you know, they're starting to put some of the pieces together. We'll see what happens.
Let me ask you guys a question. You're Giants fans. I'm not.
I'm not.
Well, do you miss Odell Beckham?
No.
Oh.
Why not?
Who could?
He's too disruptive for all
the
talent.
Put aside his mouth.
He was
just
too disruptive.
Yeah.
I can't wait till they run him out of Cleveland. But Cleveland's dysfunctional to begin with, so it was a good spot for him.
Are you really asking me that as after what he did in Green Bay?
In Green Bay?
Oh,
He was your best...
Well, he killed
best
you guys.
Asset.
He
the
killed
Giants
the Packers.
Had a lead in that game, and the first half, first quarter, were beating up the Packers.
But
and
he's
then
also
Odell drops a ball wide open, and the wheels came off.
And then he ransacked the
locker room.
I mean, he just
he destroyed the locker room.
Destroyed
it. A tantrum when he got hurt.
Right.
You know, but put that aside. The Giants, have the Giants made up for his talent as a receiver? Now, I don't care for him. I don't care for his personality, but that's me.
You can't replace a player like that. I understand your question. You can't replace a player like that. You're not trying to make up for his talent. I think what you're trying to do is have credible talent at the position, which they do, and build in other areas. Now, in exchange for him, they got the 17th overall pick, which gave them a very good defensive player, and they got an offensive lineman, a starting offensive lineman. So they improved themselves in two places and got rid of a problem. At the time, everybody thought Gettleman was crazy. I think over time, I think, will prove that the Giants got close to fair value.
Wouldn't surprise me if you were right. See, I've never been one of his fans. I admired his talent, but I didn't like his antics.
And, the problem is we don't see what happens when some of these guys and in the locker room. I mean, if you have a cohesive team and somebody's a bad boy, okay.
There's peer pressure to tone it down.
Yeah.
But on the Giants, he ran away, and the coach,
exactly.
coach didn't do anything
and nobody,
to rein him in.
And there was nobody on the team. Right. I mean, I look back, for example, Reggie White. And I'm not saying that there was any really real bad boys at the time, but Reggie would have controlled it. And that's what was
that's
important.
The difference, yeah.
It really is a difference.
So you think the Giant locker room lacks gravitas?
I think it was poisoned the last two years. Yeah. It should be better
because,
now.
Because I did not, as much as I enjoyed watching Beckham get under a ball and catch it, his athleticism, I did not enjoy everything that came with it.
We know that. I mean, that's why he's gone.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Oh, I mean, you couldn't say that some of his catches were spectacular. I mean, obviously, the tragedy is that somebody who is so talented,
just as a personality,
just doesn't.
Not
as they say, a spark of genius was drenched in misery.
Well, it's really is a shame because, and even for the kids, I mean, you want the kids to love these players and look up to them. And, it's just a tragedy.
It's hard to admire a guy like that.
You can't admire him.
You
can admire his talent.
He did appeal a lot to the sort of what I call the punk generation, which is, millennials and under.
Beckham
was a punk.
Yeah, but then he should have been on the Jets.
Yeah, but remember something. The biggest surprise to me about Odell Beckham is that he's not a New York Jet.
Yeah, I think that's my
true.
Point, that he would
no
have
doubt the
fit
Jets
in.
Probably inquired.
Yeah, because he's exactly the kind of personality and talent the Jets would take a chance on. Like with Le'Veon Bell out of Pittsburgh, the running back who fought with Roethlisberger and everybody else on the team, and now he's a Jet. Remember, you have the team that puts the fun in dysfunctional, and that's my New York Jets. That's why I love them so much. You never know what's going to happen. It's like
but
a box of chocolates.
The Jets are slowly assembling a good team.
They are.
What your hope is that they're not sort of the Mets of the NFL. Even if you get a little bit of talent, management is so screwed up that you can't win.
But remember, the Jets are exactly that. They are the Mets, the New York Mets of the NFL. That's why they're so much fun.
Ooh, my poor husband, who obviously coming to the East Coast was not going to become a Yankees fan, so he had to become
a Mets fan.
Well,
if he had any sense, he'd be a Phillies fan.
Oh, please. No. Absolutely
not.
Oh,
you're not a weirdo. Okay.
No.
But you know.
And the Phillies' reputation is far and wide, and it's not just the Eagles' reputation.
But remember, the Phillies are proud that they've lost over 10,000 games. Moving along on the Phillies, though, Aaron Nola and Jake Arrieta are having some problems, and they've slipped out of first place. The Braves have leapfrogged them, and we're worried now.
The Braves are overachieving, but they're well-coached, well-managed, and they're playing good ball. And while I don't think they're a threat to win anything, they could steal that NL East.
They could. That's why I'm hoping that the Phillies will at least be a wild card team. And I always worry about the Phillies in a one-game playoff because that's, you know, you got the, what I call the Mitch Williams factor, you know, where everybody has their hopes up. It's late in the game, and the Phillies are up by a run, and somebody gives up that three-run home run.
Well, they can be up by two runs.
We're crushed.
Or even three runs.
The relief corps blows it. I think the Phillies' relief pitching leaves a lot to be desired. And for some reason, once you get past Aaron Nola and Jake Arrieta, the starting pitching's got some problems. That's why I think they're going to be out shopping. It wouldn't surprise me if the Giants unloaded Baumgartner to the Phillies.
Oh, I think the Giants are going to be sellers, yeah. And they may unload two pitchers.
Really? Who do you think the other pitcher is going to go? Who's going to go?
Baumgartner, I thought was going to go last year. There's another pitcher on the staff who's younger. Maybe it slips my mind right now. As soon as you asked me, I forgot. But I think the Giants will be sellers, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me because, you know, the Dodgers have just about run away with that division.
Not to interrupt, guys, but let us become sellers for a minute.
Okay,
please listen to all our sponsors.
Good.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, before we start again, I have to say a shout-out to Randy Block. Randy, hope you're feeling better every single day. You know, we all miss you. Look forward to seeing you again. Haven't seen you for a while. I hear good things, and just keep recuperating.
I didn't know Randy wasn't doing well.
He has had some... Randy, minor setbacks medically.
Well, Let's hope Randy recovers quickly, and my best wishes to him and his family. I've known Randy almost 30 years. He's a great guy.
Okay, so back on sports. What else do you guys want to talk about? I know Bill is just going to talk about his boat, his boat, his boat.
That's all I ever
talk about.
Well,
what is the update on the boat? I mean, obviously, marine conditions have not been the best this young boating season.
This boating season is starting to get whiskers and mold, considering how wet it's been. I have, you know, my boat's been ready. The one good weekend we had, I was sick in bed. The other good weekend we had out of the past 10, we were out visiting my wife's in-laws in central Pennsylvania. And
boy, you are a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, and try as you might, there isn't much sailing to do in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Nice town, but not a whole lot of free water where you can, for a boat that draws 4 feet, 6 inches empty. I will tell you that everything works. All I have to do, got two things left to do. Three, if you ask my wife. The first is I have to burp my air conditioning line so that the water flows through it and cools the condenser. The second thing I have to do is I have to once again shock and drain and then refill the freshwater drinking system. And then we're ready. I've got to roll my sails in and out about 5 or 6 times, make sure they're nice and loose, lubricated up, and I'm hitting the water, folks. I'm hoping to leave my house tomorrow about 8 o'clock, and with a little luck, I'm riding the waves by 11.
Well, let me ask you, Bill, do you do a lot of fishing or any fishing off your boat?
Sometimes. One of the problems with fishing is you don't really want to eat the fish in the Toms River.
Is it true, Bill, that goldfish get to be about 3 feet long?
Well, those are the ones with the three eyes. Because remember, we are not far. The Barnegat is the Forked River, which flows into the Barnegat, cool the Oyster Creek Nuclear Power Station. And I used to believe that Homer Simpson actually worked there. And then I was disabused of that. I hear he works someplace called Springfield. But the best place to fish in the Barnegat is just off the channel, Oyster Creek Channel, going out the Barnegat Inlet, because it's washed 4 times a day with clean tidal water from the ocean. And a lot of the charter boats go in and out of there. And if you can get out in the ocean off the Barnegat Inlet about 3 or 4 miles, plenty of fish. And the secret to catching the fish is watch the birds, because the birds are diving for the fish.
Right.
And if you get a little lucky, you can watch the dolphin pods. Now, the dolphins are very smart. A lot of these charter boats leave at 6:30 in the morning. And what the dolphins do is
they follow the boats.
Exactly. They hang out off the inlet, and they wait for the charter boats to come out, and they follow them. When the charter boats start to throw chum in the water to attract the fish, the dolphins get in between the chum and the boat, and they go eat the fish. They're not stupid animals. They're smarter than we are.
Oh, no, actually, they're very smart animals.
Yeah, they're smarter than we are, and they're very good at catching fish. And if you've ever seen a dolphin open its mouth, there's a reason they're called toothed whales. They have big, sharp teeth.
Well, my grandson, one of my grandsons, is got a new kayak, and they fish out of the kayak.
Fun.
They go fishing in the Delaware in the kayaks.
Yeah, the only problem with fishing with a kayak is, you know, the current. The Delaware, you've got to be prepared to go downstream because sometimes, especially after a heavy rain like we've had, there's 2.5 knots of current. It's hard to paddle upstream that way.
Well, that's true.
I've been tubing on the Delaware hundreds of times when I was younger. It was a lot of fun. And I've been kayaking on the Delaware. And, you know, when you're in a two-person kayak, you have a little bit of extra strength and a little bit of extra weight, so you're not going downriver quite so fast.
Well, he uses a one-person kayak. He got a new one.
Yeah.
A newer one is a lighter one, which
I thought
was interesting.
Sit-in or a sit-on?
This one is open.
Open, his, so it's a sit-on.
The one he had been was, in fact, that was a sit-in, and he did not like that. He didn't think he could fish as well from that one.
Well, you know, it's funny about kayaks. Everybody has, it's all a question of taste. Everybody and preference. Everybody has their own like and dislike. I like sitting in because that way I can put stuff on either side of where I'm sitting, like something cold to drink or binoculars or a camera and fishing gear. And I have a relatively short pole that I use if I'm fishing in fresh water.
But if you flip them, it's a little more difficult getting out.
That's right.
That's because, the concern.
Yeah, it fills with water, and you've got a bail. But, you know, they come. Some of them are so nicely equipped, they come with pumps, little hand pumps or foot pumps. Now, the advantage of kayaking also is some kayaks actually have little sails. So if you want to go, if the wind's right, you can tack back and forth across the river or a bay, and it's really a
now,
lot of
that's
fun.
Interesting because I'm, you know, around Valley and see a lot of kayaks in the last few years, but I've never seen one with a sail.
There's a company that makes them, and they're out in either Vancouver or in Seattle, and they're designed so that you can go out and kayak and watch the orca migrations. And actually be in the middle of hundreds of these carnivorous mammals all busily swimming upstream. What do you got there, John? What are you looking at there? John glued to his phone.
Updated sports, you know.
Yeah, but moving along on this, you can have a really good time on the water. You know, we're all itching to get out there on the water. I was at my boat last weekend on Saturday. There's still a little bit more, you know, hull and topsides work to do, but you know, boats are a true pleasure. You're out in the fresh air and the sunshine.
Yeah, the pleasure is apparently the day you buy them and the day you sell them. And John and I are waiting for an invite, but we're waiting after you get all the work done, right, John? After it gets all the work done, then we will come down and enjoy your boat.
That's
it's kind of like the pool.
Exactly.
Mean, somebody, you know, with
your
our pool
owner.
Poor Dave spends half his summer getting the pool ready, and, you know, then the kids used to all come up and had a good time.
Well, the, you know,
isn't it funny how grandchildren arrive just as everything's set up, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Now, I love pools. Your pool, not. I don't ever want to have a pool.
Well, actually, you know, we've been very busy, but it's nice even just to relax around. I like water, and you know, if nothing else, I know you love the ocean, and of course, you both go down to the shore. When I go down, and I do like to go, but it means that you know you're full of sand and lock, 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 and you got to come home. So, I guess I'll just stick with my pool. And, well, of course, John also could invite us down when he's going down to the shore.
We've got
to
pick a weekend, and we do the boat on a Saturday, sweep over at the house, get up and have brunch Sunday morning. The problem is finding a weekend when you can do it, and the weather's going to cooperate.
I know.
Although I really think July and August are going to be good. I mean, it just can't go on for 4 or 5 months. And the last 3 months has been raining every other day.
Yeah, and
that's what I think.
I mean, nobody can tell me there's not climate change. Here we still have the farmers out in Missouri who cannot plant crops. Their fields are still underwater.
Yeah.
And then we have places like Guatemala where this lush, beautiful, lush country where we had lived up in the mountains, there's so much drought, there's no food. So, I mean, the changes in weather is just really kind of scary.
Oh, yes, and certainly it's going to be a problem. But I wanted to tell you about some very good experience I had Sunday morning going for a bike ride from Frenchtown to Stockton with some friends.
Bill, define bike. Because, you know,
two-wheeled.
You use bike differently than I do.
Pedal. Motor. You mean a bike, pedaling bike.
You mean a bike, the old-fashioned
bicycle,
where you
bicycle. Not bike. You're right. Bike
I
is
use
ambiguous.
Bike.
Yeah. We're talking not bike the athletic supporter, but bike the two wheels, pedals, and handlebars.
Yeah. But Bill likes to say bike because that's more appealing to chicks, you know? He's
I'm too old for that. I'm too old for that. Look, all I know about the only power I have over beautiful young women is they call me sir. but the end result is...
That's like asking what context that great salutation is made.
Great, great bike trails maintained by the state park system.
There a trail you went from
Frenchtown almost to Stockton.
We turned on a trail.
About, yeah,
we is that trail near the
right
canal?
Right on the Delaware.
That's
yeah,
what
right
I thought.
Between the Delaware and
but
a canal.
It's right between the two.
Yeah. And there are times where you might cross over the canal, and it was beautiful. I saw a blue heron, which I did not expect to see. I thought they were shorebirds, but here was one fishing. And one of the other guys I was with said that on different occasions, they've actually seen eagles soaring above the river looking for fish.
Well, we used to actually canoe on the canal.
Yeah, I've done it.
And, you know, it was an easy canoe trip and, you know, fun. Because canoeing in the Delaware, I think because of the current, I find that was a bit much.
Yeah. One of the difficulties that we always warn people about when they're on the water is wear a life jacket because you never know.
Well, we won't tell my story about that. Well, guys, it's about time to end the show. So, John, anything else? I know you've been very involved in looking at sports on your phone for the last few minutes. So,
yeah,
anything
just
else?
A quick shout-out to... Connecticut, Ohio, California, and Middlesex, New Jersey. But beyond that, who's counting? A shout-out to Paul Phillips' office and Dr. Joan Lee, who saw me today. My retina's doing better. Folks, we got great eye care in Flemington. And above all, take care of your eyes. It is critical you do that in all seriousness. Watch your legal backside, as we will tell you, but really take care of your eyes.
And enjoy sports over the weekend.
And folks, let's get up off that couch. Finally, we're getting a weekend without rain.
And yes, it should be a beautiful weekend. Enjoy yourselves out there. Hopefully, trying to think. I think we're back next week on Friday. And possibly not over the 4th of July.
Possibly not over the 4th of July, but next week, yeah. So long, everyone. Good show.
How are your girls doing?
And talked to Terry over there, the archivist, and he says, you know, it's really funny. We don't have many pictures at all from the Lindbergh kidnapping period. But just last week, somebody going in a flea market in New York State saw an entire packet of pictures from the Daily News photographs or photographers.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got them, and quite frankly, I haven't even looked at them. And I looked at, and there had to be about